The Thursday, April 6, 2023, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner McMahon?
Present.
I'm present. Commissioner Galway Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Placer?
Here.
Commissioner Kimball?
Here.
Commissioner Wilson? Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
Commissioner Stanton?
Present.
Commissioner Burns?
Here.
We have eight. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Zinner, are there any changes or adjustments to the agenda?
No, there are not, ma'am. Oh, I take that back. Yes, there are. We did receive an additional, we received a request to extend the tabling for 95-2023 and 96-2023, and I will describe that extended request in the presentation.
Thank you. With that small adjustment, do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Move to approve as amended.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. A thumbs up approval of the agenda. Thank you very much. That's unanimous. We have all received a copy of the March 23rd, 2023 regular meeting minutes. Are there any changes or adjustments to the minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon and seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Could I get a thumbs up approval on the minutes? That is unanimous with one abstention from Commissioner Kimball. Thank you very much. First item up on the agenda tonight is a tabling request in cases 95-2023 and 96-2023. Request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Mid-Am Development for a approval of a 13 lot preliminary plat and a rezoning of approximately 18.32 acres of property from the MOF Mixed Use Office District to the MC Mixed Use Corridor District. The subject site is located at the southeast corner of Providence Road and Veterans United Drive. A request to table this item has been submitted to the planning staff. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, as we indicated at setting the agenda, we do have a request to table cases 95-2023 and 96-2023. 96-2023 was advertised for a public hearing. That is the rezoning action. 95-2023 is the preliminary plat. The original notice for a second tabling was initially submitted for April 20th, which is your next meeting. However, after reviewing the comments that were provided back to the applicant on our review, it was concluded at the beginning of this week that that May 20th deadline would not be sufficient. Therefore, they have submitted a substitute request for May 4th for this project to be tabled to date certain. It is staff's opinion that that is a sufficient period of time by which to address the outstanding comments, allow us the opportunity to develop a development agreement and have substantial agreement on its terms as it relates to the preliminary platting action, and then be able to bring it forward to you for consideration. So we are supportive of this second request. It does allow us an additional 2 weeks by which to work through the outstanding issues.
Thank you very much. Any questions on the tabling motion? Mr. McMahon?
Mr. Zinner, would this be re-noticed?
No, because we are tabling to date certain. We can re-notify or notice the surrounding property owners. There are not many. There are only probably about 4 to 6 property owners, many of which are of the same LLC. So that won't be an issue. We can do that. But the advertising, given that we are tabling to a date certain, is going to be sufficient.
I don't know how my other commissioners feel. I would, given this is the second tabling, although we knew this was probably going to happen, or we were aware that it might happen, I'd be more comfortable that at least the property owners were notified. Does anyone have any concerns with that?
I think that would be a very good idea.
All right. I think whenever we make a motion that be included. Thank you, Mr. Zinner.
Thank you. Since this was advertised, at least one of the cases was advertised for public hearing, I will open the floor to any public comment. Is there any public comment on the tabling request? Seeing none. Commissioner comment. Commissioner McMahon.
That's the mic show today. Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a motion. In the matters of 95 and 96-2023, I move to table them to date certain for May 2023 with the caveat that the surrounding property owners be re-notified.
Second.
Thank you. There has been a motion to approve the tabling request with the caveat that the property owners be re-notified. Motion by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Gawe Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
We have 8 to approve. The motion carries.
Thank you. Those cases will be tabled to the May 4th meeting, and staff will re-notify property owners. Moving on, we also have a tabling request in case number 123-2023. A request by a civil group on behalf of the Green Meadows Property LLC for approval of a 4-lot preliminary plat of R1 one-family dwelling zoned property to be known as Quail Creek West Plat 8. The approximately 18.42-acre subject site is located southwest of Smith Drive and Louisville Drive and includes the address 825 Louisville Drive. A request to table this case to the April 20th, 2023 Planning Commission meeting has been received. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, as noted, a request to table this 4-lot preliminary plat has been sought to the April 20th meeting. That is a 2-week turnaround. At present, we are awaiting some revisions to a geotechnical report. If you recall, back when this project was originally presented, a little bit over a year ago, this particular parcel is actually laden with a number of sinkholes on the property. It reached City Council. City Council, if I recall correctly, did not take final action on it. They did. I believe it was denied. And in essence, the geotechnical report was furthered. The geotechnical report came back in. There were some staff comments as it related to the location of certain features. Mr. Gebhardt's staff and consultant are working on getting those revised. We believe that that will be taken care of with sufficient time to rewrite or finish writing the staff report. The staff comments, aside from the geotechnical related issues, were relatively minor. Therefore, we're just wanting to make sure that the technical components associated with where driveways may be placed and where potential future building sites are were more thoroughly laid out within the findings of the report, and that is what we're waiting on. So it is not staff's concern that this request for a single meeting delay is unreasonable for us or the applicant to meet their obligations.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for staff? Commissioner McMahon?
Just a reminder, I don't remember every detail. This is a karst-laden property, is it not? Is this a DNR issue on this, or
no?
Is this ours?
This is ours. We are very, given the number of sinkholes that are on the property and the proposed development, we are wanting to make sure at this point that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
I think that's a wonderful idea, Mr. Zenner. Thank you very much.
Anyone else? Was this advertised for public hearing?
This is a preliminary plat, so no, it was not.
Okay. I did not think so, but better to ask. In that case, I will open the floor at any case to the public hearing. Any public comment? Seeing none. Any commissioner comment on the case? Man.
I have a motion. No questions or concerns in the matter of case 123-2023. I move to table until date certain, 20 April 2023.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Kimball?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
We have 8 yes. The motion carries.
Thank you. That case will be tabled to the April 20th, 2023 meeting. Next up, a public hearing on a case we'll actually talk about tonight. Case number 125-2023, a request by A Civil Group on behalf of Gary and Brenda Lewis, seeking to rezone Lot 7 of Corporate Lake, Plat 14, from PD Plan Development to MC Mixed Use Corridor. The 1.26-acre subject lot is located northwest of the intersection of North Cedar Lake Drive and Santana Circle. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Madam Chair. Real quick, on public notice front, owner letters were sent to 4 neighboring property owners on March 15th, and then the Tribune ad was placed on the 21st. So here's a broad aerial view here with the site in the middle. As you can see, the VU campus to the east, Rockbridge High School to the north, just a little ways. And then generally, it kind of disperses out into residential as you move to the south and the west. About it. This case will probably lean a little heavier on the history because there's quite a backstory going on here. I'll try not to bore you too much with details, but we'll get started. So the property was annexed in 1985. When it was annexed, it was given a permanent zoning of R1. And then fairly quickly, a year later, it was rezoned to R2 PUD and CP, the CP being kind of the north half of this block that you're looking at that included just a small slither of the north part of this subject site. And that was part of the Rockbridge Meadows PUD and CP plan. In that plan, I didn't put it in the presentation, but generally much of the area between Providence and Bethel here was planned to be condos and single-family development, much more like you would see a normal PUD development back in the 90s, 80s and 90s. And then this corner here at Southampton and Providence was meant to be kind of a commercial node, which is the reason for the CP zoning in that area. A little after that, I think this started in 87, the Villa Madera final plat came in, and that included this block here. Specifically, it was the part you see that's developed here to the east of the subject site. And that was initially intended to be condos, and then a change kind of came around. The condos weren't selling and being built out as quickly as the developer had hoped, and it kind of a shift in direction happened in 1989. A lot of this area was rezoned to C1, including the Villa Madera lot there. You see this developed, and that allowed for some a mix of uses basically. And then again, another year later, they came in and kind of changed it to CP so they could be a little more specific and use a plan in order to get some things through and developed. And today that developed part is actually a mixed use with residential facing the west side and then some commercial office type uses on the outer facing Providence side. It's actually abutting the Providence outer road. So at that time, when it was zoned to CP again, the uses permitted by the CP were all uses in the C1 at the time. That was the 1990 code. And shortly after that, Corporate Lakes Plat 6 and 7 came in and kind of reconfigured some of these areas. And the plat you see here is actually the development plan that was kind of in conjunction with Plat 7, I believe. Reason I bring those up is because they established what is now North Cedar Lake Drive. Previous renditions had a street connecting to the outer road called Mondego Drive. And this kind of connected to that and subsequently replaced it. So the whole street was renamed. And effectively, the North Cedar Lake Drive corridor kind of replaced what was planned to be the through route through the parcel, which was Corporate Lake Drive to the south, which I'll show you. So the green line in the middle there, that is North Cedar Lake Drive. And as you can see, it traverses the entire kind of development here for the Corporate Lake neighborhood, I guess you would call it. Again, this is from the outer road all the way to Bethel Road in the west. The yellow line to the south, that's Corporate Lake Drive. That was kind of initially planned to be a through route, and then development pattern kind of shifted in that residential, it's a multifamily, was built in this area here and kind of blocked that off. And so in effect, what it did is it moved the primary route through the site to the north, to the North Cedar Lake Drive location, which is important when we start to talk a little more about zoning, which I think we're doing here. So yeah, the property does kind of remain underutilized. A lot of it is undeveloped. As you can see from the aerial here, this is fairly recent. Much of the adjacent property to the west and a little parcel to the north, and then also on the south side of Cedar Lake Drive, as well as a large parcel on the other side of Executive Drive, all remain undeveloped. And it's you know, kind of a product of a lot of different things, but one purpose for this proposed rezoning is the hope that it would help to kind of reactivate the site and in doing by removing the need for a development plan. So one, the open zoning doesn't require the plan, and then also it the MC would open more potential uses, which is another factor. So again, the current CP zoning permits C1 uses from the 1990 code. Actually, I believe it was the 88 code, but the CP is from 1990. There are some additional uses that would be permitted under the proposed MC zoning that would be seen as, you know, somewhat more intensive. For instance, hotels, self-service storage facilities, indoor recreation and entertainment, landscape greenhouse uses, adult retail, marijuana retail. I will caveat that by saying, Pat and I have discussed this too, where the school is located in close enough proximity that marijuana retail, things that would mostly be excluded from this area. But that is in the code now in MC zoning, just for full disclosure. Other uses that would become available in MC that would have been conditional uses previously and therefore not allowed in the current zoning is light vehicle service or repair, car washes, assembly and lodge halls, and veterinary hospitals. And there's a couple more, but these are the big ones here. So at face value, a lot of the MC uses are relatively low impact in comparison with some of the other uses that are out there and also just generally. But staff does have concerns about the vehicle-oriented uses, specifically light vehicle service or repair. When the properties to the west of this came in for rezoning 2 years ago now, I believe, this was a very similar concern that we had at that time And I believe it was echoed by the commission, and that we had a pretty good discussion about the impacts that a gas station might have with or without gas pumps. And I believe that's why you see a lot of the area to the west of the subject site is zoned MN. Some of the considerations that we looked at is the road network, for one thing. Santana Circle is actually substandard. As it was developed under a PD plan, it was allowed to be a 46-foot right-of-way. Now our smallest street standard is 50 feet. And then also the other aspect is that it just lacks interconnectivity with the broader network. This intersection here ends at the outer road and does not connect to Providence. If it did, we might be having a different conversation. That is the case to the south with Corporate Lake Drive. And as I said before, that was initially planned to be kind of the corridor through this large parcel. But with the replacement and the shifting of that corridor to the north, it becomes kind of a diffused edge, if you will, where you have to go from North Cedar Lake Drive down the outer road or down Corporate Drive, I believe, is the other north-south connector there in red. And so a lot of the commercial you see that exists out there, and specifically the MC zoning, is centered around that block, basically south of North Cedar Lake Drive, which is the Performing Arts Center, which is the green roofed building here. And I've drawn a blank as to what's back here. But and then you have, you know, a strip commercial center on the south side of Corporate Lake Drive. So a lot of that was built up around the time that the street network was modified, both before and after that modification. But at the time, that area was zoned for heavier commercial uses in all likelihood because of that connection out to Providence Road. There are plans that eventually may be closed, and therefore a lot of this will be kind of secluded from the Providence corridor, and there will be some kind of inner circulation that will have to take place to get back out to Southampton or to Bethel to kind of traverse the area to get back out to a major arterial roadway like Providence. So So in defense of the rezoning, I just wanted to kind of touch these bases because there are some merits to it as well. Again, Corporate Lake Drive and Commercial Drive are already commercial corridors in the vicinity. And this would just kind of be a connection of that loop, if you will. It's kind of consistent with nodal development. North Cedar Lake Drive does now act as the primary traffic corridor, so an argument could be made that the more intensive uses are appropriate, even more appropriate on North Cedar Lake Drive than maybe some of the existing uses to the south that are kind of more secluded vehicularly. The other thing, too, that we considered is the fact that any of those higher intensive uses that would create a lot of vehicular traffic would likely trigger a traffic impact analysis that would recommend roadway improvements and other safety features that would have to be there would have to be modifications made to that street network in order for those things to be placed out there. So there are protections if this were rezoned to MC to, you know, maintain a certain level of safety and also connectivity and things of that nature. It's, some traffic handling issues as far as the road network is concerned. So so we did also, as an alternative, explore MN zoning. There were generally C1 zoning, especially in the early 90s, contained a lot of the same uses. There are some of those that would be lost, and the light vehicle service repair kind of category. But we wanted to make sure that there weren't other uses that had been previously permitted that would be lost. The one instance I was able to locate is drive-up facilities were permitted as an ancillary use to a restaurant in the current zoning, and they would now be a conditional use permit required for those in an MN zone if that were the alternative chosen. So with that, our conclusion is that staff does support an open zoning and zoning it away from a planned district. We do agree that it may be kind of stifling development on the lot. There is a concern, however, if this lot is zoned MC, then other lots may be triggered to be rezoned to MC as well in the immediate area, particularly on this block. You see the zone. The zoning on the lot immediately to the west is MN, and allowing the MC on the north side of Cedar Lake Drive may kind of trigger a domino effect along that corridor. Also, we think that the potential uses, especially the vehicular ones, are too intense for the adjacent uses. And again, as I said, the developed parcel to the east is a mixed use, but the residential driveways are on Santana Circle, and so those residences would see an impact from increased vehicular traffic and things of that nature. So with that, our recommendation would be for denial of the proposed MC zoning. However, we would be supportive of an alternative MN zoning because it's more contextually sensitive and consistent with land use patterns as well as the current CP zoning restrictions. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had outside communications with the applicants or other interested parties on this case, please tell us now. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Commissioner, I'm going to go Commissioner Burns first this time.
Thanks. The mic show's over. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Mr. Palmer, this might be a better question for the applicant, but do you know who owns the property just to the west of the property we're discussing right now, or?
It's actually the applicant. He owns a number of properties in the area.
Okay. Thank you.
And Mr. Commissioner McMahon, anything?
Madam Chair, JLB, glad for what I'm about to say. I don't see a problem with the MC here with the following caveats. Right now, I know it's the same property owner. If we can maintain that MN barrier is fine. My concern, and I was just down here this weekend twice, to describe the traffic flow as problematic or having deficiencies down there might be generous. I think for everyone except the people across Santana, this would be okay. That's my only hang up on this. If it's MC, particularly turns into light automotive, you know, something like that. Do, in staff's opinion, would MN provide that those residential units there with more protection?
It definitely limits the intensity. You know, hotels, indoor recreation, entertainment, those sorts of uses wouldn't be permitted. Those are the types of uses that will see the high vehicular traffic.
One of the reasons I would support, thank you, and one of the reasons I would support MC is I don't see a problem with those things down here. I kind of see that MN thing is in the wrong place, but there's nothing we can do about it right now. I do have a problem. The traffic is deficient is a interesting, applicable way to describe the traffic down there. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do any of my other fellow commissioners, Commissioner Stanton?
I think MN is a win-win. Mm. MN is a win-win because it decreases the intensity. The surrounding areas are kind of more on that line of intensity. Plus, it's already zoned MN up top. And I think, just my opinion, This is a chess move. We give him NC. He goes back, gets the MC for the other piece. We make this all MC, and then he... There we go. So I think MN is a win-win.
Yeah. Question for legal, then. They don't have to change the case number? I've never done it this way before, and I understand the applicant would have to consent. If the trans... Sorry. Sometimes I forget we have the internet listening. I promise we'll get to you, Jay.
They don't need to change the case number. You can consider a different zoning, a down zoning to MN versus the MC that was originally requested. I would recommend that you check with the applicant as to what their desires are.
Yes. Thank you. Any other... Oh, sorry. Commissioner Sand, go ahead.
So in hearing... Our legal advice, are we to vote this up or down, or ask the applicant if he's cool with the win-win?
Well, first we have to actually do the public hearing.
Well, part. I'm setting the scenario up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. If applicant's cool with it, we'll vote it up down as MN. Yeah. No mas, okay. Anyone else questions for staff?
Yeah.
Commissioner Carroll.
You talked a bit about the concern of zoning creep. Just for the, I guess, the benefit of the hearing and those listening, I wonder if you could talk about the considerations surrounding that concern and what sort of path would have to be taken that could lead to zoning creep for some of the adjacent properties?
Yeah, just in looking at the zoning map, when you cross a barrier such as a roadway, so you see here MC, I think my zoning map may be a little more. So south of North Cedar Lake Drive, you have the darker red, that's MC. If this were rezoned MC, it would jump across the roadway there, which acts as a barrier of some kind. And you know, there's like a back and forth here because you might also consider that to be a traffic corridor, which is kind of where you would like to see those types of uses. But that might be true for the property also to the west, but then the property to the north, which is not clearly delineated here, but there is a lot line here. And so this property, which is also zoned MN, MC is probably not appropriate at all there, given its lack of vehicular traffic and frontage on a major roadway, right? However, though, if the other two lots are zoned MC, it becomes more expected that the other lot would also be MC. And so then there's just this kind of ripple effect or domino effect of, where does it end and, how did it get started is kind of where we're at now. It's like, do we really want to jump that barrier of North Cedar Lake Drive and then start that kind of chain reaction? Because it will take place on down the road potentially along that along the rest of the corridor as you move west.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of MN at the very far west along that corridor. I am seeing some MC and some perhaps CP around there. I'm wondering if the city view map is accurate here. When I look at the zoning layers, it looks like there's a strange split zoning scenario. Does it default to the MN on that parcel directly to the east, or is that split zoned? Because the map that I'm looking at didn't match. I looked to see the broader context.
I will tell you that everything west of here, west of the subject site, was owned by the applicant. Mm-hmm. That we did a multi-parcel kind of rezoning on that. Like I said, it was at least a year ago, maybe two. And a lot of that at that time, especially right here at Southampton and Executive, there was a request for MC there as well. Mm-hmm. And that was the one where there were a lot of concerns about having the potential gas station next to the high school and the traffic and kind of the products they were selling, right, things of that nature. And in that instance, a lot of those, most of those MC requests were downgraded to MN. And so if you look at the zoning map, you'll see that much of this parcel that's undeveloped to the west here around the lake is zoned MC now, except for the clubhouse for the residential, and that's an RMF lot.
So the requests along...
It's MN, south, I'm sorry. Let me.
So the requests along Southampton, yeah, I am seeing MN there, generally were requested for MC and ended up going MN instead.
Right.
And ultimately, as we discuss, you talked about, I guess, a mechanism that might be concerning for zoning creep, as you say, just for the benefit of the hearing. Ultimately, if another parcel wanted to rezone, it would have to come back through this process, through this board, have a hearing with the same questions.
I think what we, when we refer to zoning creep, and it is the next, once you begin a process, it becomes very difficult because the argument could be presented that Executive Drive then acts as the boundary for the expansion of MC. So the parcel to the west of the subject site becomes MC. Well, Executive Drive then is the arguing point that that's the barrier. And then the parcel to the north of that which fronts on Executive is suggested to be MC or sought to be rezoned MC. And there becomes less and less ability, typically, to defend not zoning to that at not maybe this level, but at the council level, because what's a little bit of extra MC? And so when you look at what the intensity is within the block to the south of North Cedar, that is an established commercial block. It has been an established MC commercial block for years, for more than a decade. And this particular northern area was not envisioned that way. Most of the plan districts that surround the northern edge of the lake, which is where the restaurant is, the eyewear, there's some multifamily up there, those were all planned zone districts that were sought to be rezoned, if I am not incorrect, with the original request to MC. And we said, no, the land uses that are there are capable to be accommodated in MN. And hence the reason why there was that back and forth during those original, the original rezoning action, the more comprehensive rezonings out here. This was a parcel, interestingly enough, that was just not addressed when we did the comprehensive rezoning, because probably at that point it wasn't seen as an obstacle or an impediment maybe to a user. And at this point now we have that.
And this parcel that's directly to the east from the parcel that we're looking at, that is residential, that's zoned, split zoned by the City View map, MC and MN.
The map that is here, I'd have to see the actual City View map. The map that is here came directly out of our GIS. We're having horrible issues with our City View at this point, accuracy issues. This is the map that is coming directly from our data sources that we are using. And this, the pink, the pale red, is MN zoning. The hatched area that's the gray is PD. That is the actual designation. And what you see on the aerial here, that is the current aerial background with the existing zoning.
And it is residential in the MN, right?
Yes, it originally began. So in the Villa Madera plan, it was originally R2 PUD and CP, and then that was converted to the MN. So it is possible. MN does allow mixed-use residential uses. So you can have the office with the residential, which is that MN designation is consistent with what would be found on the ground today.
Yeah, and just the, for clarity's sake, the there are residential units facing west with driveways onto Santana Circle, and then there are parking lots and office, generally some commercial, facing to the east out on the outer road frontage. So it is a true mixed-use development. And yeah, it is zoned MN. So.
Yeah, I have to confess that when we were discussing the older rezoning applications north of that towards Rockbridge High School, I viewed Corporate Plaza Drive as, I guess, kind of the barrier and proximity to the high school as being a major consideration. And as we move south, I see more more commercial zoning.
If no one else has a question, I just have a quick one. Good. Are they prohibited from having an entrance on North Cedar Lake Drive?
No, that road is not classified on the CATSO map, so
okay.
It wouldn't be restricted.
Okay, so they don't necessarily and may not desire to have their entrances on Santana Circle.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the considerations is, you know, looking at the road classification, it acts as kind of a collector, at least for everything within this Corporate Lake kind of block of development. But it doesn't rise to that level on a broader scale. It really only serves this area, even though it does serve a fairly large area.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Carroll, go ahead.
And you didn't hear back from any, I know it's in the staff report, you didn't hear back from any adjoining?
There were only four postcards sent out. That's because the applicant owns the bulk of the property adjacent. And there was one neighborhood association, I believe. And the rest are people, I believe, who are owners of those condo units.
The neighborhood association is farther back.
North Cedar Lake
neighborhood. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Seeing no other questions for staff, we will open the public hearing. Please come forward. State your name, all the good stuff.
Thank you, Sharon. Ms. Jay Gephardt. I'm a civil engineer and a land surveyor with a civil group. And I'm working tonight for Mr. Lewis, who purchased this property, all 80 acres of Corporate Lake, back in about 1987. He is the owner of all the vacant properties except that piece at the corner, maybe the north or southeast corner of Executive and Southampton. And we have, it's interesting, the staff's kind of made a lot of my arguments for me why this should be MC. And I ask you to, you know, take some faith in your uniform development code. The uses that are scary are causing concern for this. We would have to do a traffic impact study, and I can tell you we would never get a C-store here. The closest we're going to get to a C-store would be the corner of Corporate Lake and the outer road, and I still don't think we could get the traffic thing because MoDOT's limiting that entrance to a ride-in and ride-out only. It's just, and as Mike said, the traffic down here is questionable as it is. So that is going to be a self-limiting issue with this. We also have, you know, an owner for the last 30 years who's been slowly developing this in his own vision, and he just hasn't allowed those type of uses to occur. MC property across the street, you know, so why aren't we using that? Authority Gymnastics is going to build their facility, a new facility there. So a lot of that MC is going to be used for that. We really don't want to go to MN because we want to preserve the rights for our drive-through facilities. After COVID, it's just amazing. Everyone wants a drive-through. And so having to go back through the conditional use process is cumbersome, and it adds similar situation as doing a PD plan. So we might as well keep the PD if we're going to lose the drive-throughs. And, you know, the one, you know, there's a lot of uses put out here, like car wash and stuff, but, you know, a veterinary hospital, a bakery, there are some uses in the MC that would fit in with this with a drive-through, and I think it would be good. And so I'm not going to be able to consent to going to MN tonight, and I would just live with the PD that we have if that's what we need to do. The reason this wasn't included in the...
Hold the mic back towards your speaking.
Oh, I'm sorry. The reason we didn't include this in the first time, it was actually a mistake on my part. Gary and Brenda Lewis are the owners of all the other parcels, and this was owned under an LLC called Villa Madeira, and I didn't think that was Gary, and so I didn't include it. Otherwise, we would have included it in that big rezoning we did about 18 months ago. So, and that's another point, is this zoning creep issue is we just rezoned this from PD to MN. Gary doesn't have any intention of asking for MC on those MN parcels. But that's our logic on this. You know, a lot of the MC that we have is being used up. We'd like to make sure that we could have those type of uses. And the really high intense vehicle ones are going to be self-limiting by the UDC's requirement for a traffic impact study. So that's what I'd be glad to answer questions or.
Thanks, Jay. Any questions, Commissioner Burns?
So just to clarify, Mr. Gebhard, you would prefer to stay with the PD versus you won't consent to going to the MN. So if we decline your request, you're happy with the PD right now?
We're not happy with it. We prefer, and we don't see the need for a PD, but we don't want to give up the entitlements that we have now.
So. Thank you.
Any other questions for this speaker? Okay, thank you. Okay, is there anyone else from the public who wants to speak on this case? Anyone else on the case out at Corporate Lake? Seeing none. Commissioner discussion. Who wants to start? Commissioner Burns.
Yeah, I'll start. I mean, I think I understand the desire to increase opportunities by moving to the MC, and staff had offered MN as an alternative, and that's not acceptable. So I guess if we're talking about kind of meeting in the middle, I would say we stay with the PD and see where we go, because I see moving to the MC is opening the door.
Commissioner McMahon.
Just real quick, a philosophical point for in the future. This is kind of counter to where I normally sit, but I think this frontage on the outer road should probably be MC anyway, but it's blocked by that MN. And the traffic is horrible down. It's really bad. It's just the flow is all wrong. I respect Mr. Gebhard and Commissioner Stanton's view, and I think I'll go along with Commissioner Burns here. We need to think about this area doesn't have zoning flow or traffic flow. Anything we can do to avoid that in the future, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Any other comments? Commissioner Placer?
I liked the MN possibility because of both the idea of zoning creep and the nearness to some residential on Santana I am very leery of this idea that go ahead, because we've had another case like this recently, go ahead and rezone, and it'll be self-limiting, or we aren't going to do a certain thing that would be allowed there. And I'm very, very cautious about that. I would rather go with MN as being more consistent with the surrounding part of that particular area. But if MN is not agreeable, I guess we have to accept that and go with the status quo.
Commissioner Lowe?
Along with the zoning around the site generally being zoned lower in the MN, the uses on the site have been developed at the lower end of the scale. If the zoning maps on City View can be believed. So we're seeing residential in the office zones and the MN zones. So wanting to go to a higher zone seems to be contradictory to how this whole area has been developed. And I concur with Commissioner Burns that it seems speculative to upzone that piece at this point.
Anyone else? I'll go. I hate to be the contrarian, but I guess that's what I am tonight. I love the idea of getting rid of a PD plan that's not being used. I truly, truly do. And I think that between the traffic study requirement that could trigger improvement of the roadway for everyone around, which would be nice, between the fact that if they did consent to MN and we did that, they'd just have to spend the money to come back to us again to request a CUP for the drive-through, and the fact that a business owner is going to put something in that spot that is going to be used, that is going to be a similar use because they are looking to use the same consumer group, right? So, like, we're not talking about complete greenfield, not in a real way. There's tons of business that is well established that is already out there. I feel fairly comfortable giving them the MC given all of the other things around it and given the fact that any study, if they do want to put in a drive-through and they do get the larger traffic study, we could be looking at an improvement that helps every other business around them as well. So, I mean, I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to tell you what my mind is thinking, which is I think that the way I view zoning, I would much rather have the straight zoning than have this PD sitting out there again for who knows how long until they come back. Or, you know, then they go to city council and city council grants them the MC anyway, I guess would be the other option. But it's been sitting there undeveloped, zoned for decades. If giving them straight zoning gets the thing built out, I'm happy with that. Commissioner McMahon and then Commissioner Carroll.
Just real quick, I want to second what you said. Why I went against my normal philosophical take on this is before these folks own it, I looked at this property and it was empty. It has been empty, empty, empty. I'm with you, Sharon. If it kickstarts this 80 acres, it's been sitting there. I think it'll be okay. Traffic is an issue. Anybody who does anything of size or flow here is going to have to pay to improve the roads or help pay to improve the roads because you just can't, it doesn't flow. And the designation of corporate Lake Drive, North Cedar Lake needs to, that Catso needs to switch that. There's an issue down there because they cut that road off, which I think was a mistake to the whole area. But I'm leaning this way just to move the whole thing along, honestly.
Commissioner Carroll.
Yeah, I struggled with this case when I was reviewing it because I do see quite a bit of commercial that's adjacent to this. We have MN adjacent. We have an MN used as residential adjacent mixed use. I was leaning towards granting MC as I reviewed this because the surrounding MC, because the nodal development, because of the location on the corridor, and because I do support I do have faith in our code and the requirement of the traffic study. I do think that a lot of the more intense uses should be hard to have with a traffic study, although I'm not sure how comfortable I am with a drive-through at that location. We need improvements to that street. The traffic is horrible. I don't know that improvements to that street can help the overall traffic flow with a drive-through present. I do see the contextual use as you move towards North Cedar Lake to be more similar to commercial.
Commissioner Stanton.
Oh, Mr. Gephardt can sell water to a fish. The arguments are sound. Logic is sound. I'm dishonor not trusting anybody further than I can throw a mode right now with the current situation and developments going on. Arguments are great, but there's a lot of what is, could, won't, have no intentions of, don't plan to, none of that is legally binding. And the way I looked at this neighborhood or this area is that, like Ms. Lowe said, it's been developed on the lower end of the zoning scale. And I don't know the argument why MN wouldn't work with some of the things that Mr. Gephardt wants to do. I don't know. He made the position that MN is not an option. So I'm not going to go down that road. The win-win to me would be an MN. It would keep a neighborhood feel. This is kind of where I'm at. I'm looking at everything that's developed there. Yeah, maybe Corporate Lake didn't work like proposed. I get it. But MM would be the win-win for me. It's not an option, but I'm sure not comfortable with the woulda, coulda, possiblys, hope not to kind of thing. Because once we give that door open, he's not legally bound to anything that came out of his mouth. And I'm not, Mr. Gephardt can sell water to a fish, not doubting his integrity or his logic at all. But none of that is legally binding.
Commissioner Placer.
I agree with Commissioner Stanton. I do not want to give to assign a zoning that by right allows so many uses that could be detrimental to the area and have no recourse. I could be driving down there and think, oh, that's going in? You know, I just think there is no self-limitation. There is none. It's wide open. to any use we've listed. So why would we think any other statement would have any binding power?
Well, for me, it's not, I mean, look, this is not a slam dunk case either way in my mind. But for me, it's not what Mr. Gebhardt or the owners say they intend to do. It's what our code tells them they are allowed to do. And while, yes, MC generally permits all kinds of things, the use-specific standards do not. And so, to me, those use-specific standards that we have worked very hard on and are continually refining are there for a purpose. Although it's true that they will be able to do more with MC than they will with MN, I don't know. Like, for example, I don't see them ever being able to meet the use-specific standards for a hotel. Right, like that's what I'm thinking of, is what would the code allow them to do between building, traffic, and use-specific standards, regardless of what they may want to do. I don't know.
Could you give me some examples of what would be possible?
I mean, most retail would definitely be possible, especially lower use retail. Personal services would be. I think, you know, the anything that is, frankly, also allowed in MN would fit on there under the use specific standards for MC. And the stuff that's not allowed in MN, I think they're gonna have a very hard time meeting. Commissioner McMahon.
Looking at the property, and I'm sure the Lewis's are, but perhaps I've looked at this. If I have this piece of property and I am a block away from the high school, and this is to be like, make this real, not just, you know, maybe like being a store or a drive through restaurant, that's what I'd want to put there if I just wanted to make a buck off this. It's really problematic for a drive through. It's not problematic for a C-store, except everyone hates C-stores, you know, and you get the neighbors out, you know, put a McDonald's in, no one's going to say anything, and we're going to put, you know, four gas pumps in there, and we'll have 200 people in line. That's kind of what this area needs. I agree with you. They'd have a hard time with the standards getting a hotel in there. drive-through, maybe. Because the roads are messed up, it's a hard time. But that's an either or, as Mr. Stanton said. Convenience store, they want to fix the road, you know, widen it mostly and help that flow. This is a poorly catsowed area, and that's mostly because of when it developed. But this property sat here for 40 years as the property around it developed. It sat. So I'm done. I'm ready to vote whenever you guys are.
Fair enough. Seeing no other comments, Commissioner McMahon, would you do us the favor of a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the matter of case 125-2023, parentheses, and because I must do this in the affirmative, I move to approve the rezoning from DDDMC.
Can I question? We have a recommendation for denial, so
yeah.
But we have to state it.
I have to
make
it. I have to state the motion in the positive. Do I not? Legal?
You
we typically state them in the affirmative.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
We still good there, Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Commissioner Carroll, or I'm sorry, any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner McMahon?
No.
My vote is no. Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
No.
Commissioner Kimball?
No.
Commissioner Lowe?
No.
Commissioner Stanton?
No.
Commissioner Burns?
No.
We have 7 no votes and 1 yes. The motion is carries.
Motion fails.
But, oh my goodness. Yes, it fails.
Thank you, Commissioner Carroll. By our vote of 1 yes and 7 no, we have recommended denial of the rezoning in case number 125-2023. What do we do next? Oh, that recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Any public comments generally? Commissioner Gebhardt, or Mr. Gebhardt, I'm tired.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Thank you for allowing me to talk. Not this isn't specific to the case that you just recommend denial on, but I do want to give you a perspective that I have after 35 years of doing this. When we were using planned developments, I had a lot of tools when I met with neighbors, and I could address eliminate uses that were concerns. I had a lot of tools to address the same concerns that you guys are voicing tonight. And you know, when we came to the and adopted the UDC, I was assured that you know we're getting rid of the planned districts and the use of that because of the cumbersome way they have to be managed in order, because we were having all the use specific standards, the neighborhood protections, and all the other parts of the UDC. So it's really hard, you know, in I'm always asked, well, what's the intended use? And I almost kind of laugh to myself about that, because name a commercial building that is what it was when it was built. I mean, there's a lot of reuse and redone. So, I mean, I could come in tonight and say, this is going to be a veterinary clinic. And, you know, and everyone goes, oh, well, that's okay. You know, that's not a problem. But the problem, this is exactly what Sharon said, is these uses are what's allowed. And you guys have to build these use-specific standards to give yourselves the confidence that when someone comes in and asks for a zoning category, that there are other limitations than these are the allowed uses. But, oh, yeah, we have all these use-specific standards that say if you do this, then you have to do this and you have to do this. So it's, you know, and I kind of miss the plan districts a little bit, because I'm the one talking to neighborhood associations, and I'm trying to explain to them. And I have one coming before you next meeting for Copperstone, and the neighbors just flat out insisted that it stay planned district. They would not even entertain the idea of it going to open zoning, because the whole concept of use-specific standards and all that is just really hard to educate to people. I've met with them 4 times, so I mean, it's not like it's just one meeting with them. But my point being is, you know, we will be coming back with straight zoning requests that don't have a specific use to them. And if everyone always goes to the worst case scenario of what could, the awful things that could happen there, then we'll never be able to utilize the UDC in the way that it was envisioned. And so, you know, when I have a case like that, you know, and I come forward with a PD, then I'm criticized, perhaps, of why are you using a PD, because it's not appropriate. So I just wanted to point out my perspective on that. You don't necessarily have to agree with it, but it is something to think about. You guys have adopted this code, and I think you just have to have some faith in it. And if you see something that's broken in it, you need to fix it by adding more use-specific standards or more detail to the use-specific standards, and that to allow it to function properly.
Thank you, Mr. Gebhardt.
Thank you.
Any other? Oh, I'm sorry, Commissioner Stanton.
Mr. Gebhardt, it breaks my heart, because I agree completely. Mr. Gebhardt does a great job in trying to accommodate our needs. He does a lot of work to make these projects work, and we need to work to making his job a little easier. But it's not the Mr. Gephardt's that influence our decisions. I do a great job, Mr. Gephardt, but there's some that display us. I mean, this is the bottom line. They take the keywords and marketing strategies, and they say what they think we want to hear, and sometimes we're suckers, and we fall into that trap. And that's why we get decisions like this. And, you know, yes, maybe we need to make this clearer, more clear-cut. But it's the bad actors that are really, they influence my, I can speak for myself. They definitely influence my position. And I always rather be on the side of caution, because in my neighborhood, I wish there were somebody that was trying to keep the zoning in my neighborhood at a certain level of intensity, or the buffers. You know, I live right down by the big old garage right here. And so I'm trying to be that person for this neighborhood, and your arguments were sound. I just don't trust the system outside of the law, outside of the rules, to play ball like you do.
Anyone else? Commissioner McMahon.
I mentioned this before, but to follow up on what Mr. Gephardt and Mr. Stanton said, if we depend upon the code and it's pretty much plug and play, i.e. Greenfield, and this was Greenfield for a long time, it works pretty well, but this is kind of an infill situation. We have the zoning that's changed north and south of that road, and the transportation did not, so it's not plug and play. And we're only, you know, what, a quarter mile from the school, if that. It's kind of messed up. It doesn't work very well. The entire region doesn't work for transportation or zoning. It's got an odd off flow to it. I'll stop right there, but that's something we need to think about going forward. Thanks.
Anyone else before we move on? Commissioner Lowe.
I'm just thinking, in conjunction with Mr. Gephardt's comments, just as we're looking at housing and the zoning districts, Mr. Gephardt, we do have to consider everything that's in the next district. You know, you said you go straight to the worst case scenario. I'm not sure I would characterize it as the worst case scenario, but we've intentionally stepped the districts up, and decisions were made about, you know, what makes it into that next district. If there isn't enough nuance, if we're finding that we need a middle ground, perhaps we need to look at that a bit more on the mixed-use commercial end as well, another middle ground. Just a thought. Thank you for your comments.
Anyone else before we move on? Okay. I believe next up is our lovely staff.
So, sounds like I have job security. Your next meeting will be on the 20th of April. Time is flying, as Ms. Lowe said before we left work session. We're already almost through the fourth month of the year. Just seems like January. But we do have some cases that are coming up. So our upcoming cases are these five. We have the subdivision that we had tabled this evening off of Louisville, and then the case that Mr. Gephardt referred to off of Water School. This is at Copperstone. We are redoing the, we are doing a planned district plan, and this is a planned district plan that will be very unfamiliar to most of you. It does not have any buildings on it. This is something that I have previously previewed for you, that this is the direction that we were going to be starting to head in. We don't want fictitious development patterns proposed. We want to identify the ultimate impacts permissible on lots and then allow the plan approval process to determine the building footprint. This SOI is a revision of the existing SOI that went with the CP zoning. It is being upgraded to address the current code. And as Mr. Gebhardt pointed out, it includes a limitation of uses that were necessary in order to ensure the support generally of the surrounding property owners. It is a comprehensive list, very consistent generally with the uses that were the commercial uses that were permitted in the CP zoning that was on this property, but it has been thinned to eliminate a lot of the superfluous uses that ultimately are not what the objective of the developer is. With that being said, single family, two family development, it's not in there anymore because it was in the original CP. That's not what this property will be developed as. It is proposed to be a commercial development of 10 lots. And we, in working with Mr. Gebhardt, his staff, have thinned that use list down to what is appropriate within this general vicinity and what the client was willing to accept. And it has been further refined with the meetings that they have had with the neighborhood. So the plan will be different. The SOI is really the meat and the potatoes of the request. It is what can occur on the individual lots and in what proportions. So we hope that you'll see it and you'll understand why we're gravitating towards this. It does not reduce or diminish the impact of a plan zone. It still does require a plan approval individually for each of the lots. The next project we have is another permanent zoning request. We have had a number of these this year. It's actually surprising to me that we are still seeing external growth on the city, and that's where we see these permanent requests. This is just north of Sorrel's Overpass on the north side of I-70. It is currently a county-zoned ML and RM, ML being their light manufacturing and RM being their multifamily zone. It is being sought to be rezoned comparably to the city, and that would be our IG and our RMF. Presently, the property is improved with a residence and the Chapman Heating and Cooling commercial business. Both the residential and the industrial zoning that the current zoning has and what we're proposing to accommodates both uses. And the purpose behind this is really for sanitary sewer. They would like to connect all of the existing improvements on the property to a public line, and then there is one vacant parcel that will be RMF that would have the ability to connect when proposed for future development. And finally, the last case is very similar to what Mr. Gebhardt was talking about this evening. This is taking a parcel that has sat PD for probably more than a decade. The court, Woodland Spring Court, actually currently has two hotels developed on it. This particular site is behind an ATM machine that has frontage on Clark Lane. And it is being sought to be taken out of the PD designation and dropped into the MC designation. And at this point, you're on an interstate, you're on a major arterial, Clark Lane. The MC zoning designation at this point, when you look at all of the other conditions, size of the parcel, parking requirements, other use-specific standards that would apply, MC zoning, hopefully when you see the facts associated with this case, makes sense. There are certain instances where land use context is important, as we discussed this evening. In others, the context defines what the appropriate zoning is, and there may have been a reaction at the time PD was applied that it was for another purpose. And so with the discussion that we had during public comments, you know, part of our role as staff is to try to balance out those issues. We are favorable to get rid of planned district zoning, as Ms. Galway-Jones is and others on this commission, as often as we can due to the labor-intensive nature of it and the stifling effect it has. However, in instances where we do believe that there may be adverse impact, a planned zoning district may be appropriate to be retained
or as was recommended by Mr. Palmer in this particular request this evening for Cedar Lake, a different zoning classification that gets it out of PD but keeps it consistent with that land use is sometimes appropriate. It is always the applicant's prerogative to accept a downzoning of a property. However, it is also always the prerogative of the commission to not support the staff's recommendation. And I think that that goes to the purpose of why we have this public forum and why we exchange information the way we do. Very similar to how our Board of Adjustment operates, you hear the facts from both parties, you have to render a decision. We are here as your technical advisor, and we hopefully we can provide you that technical expertise when asked for, and that is our purpose. More than happy to try to create additional zoning districts. We have found that Mr. Elliott and Clarion and their endeavor when we redid our zoning code in 2017, brevity is sometimes appropriate. We went from 26 to 13 zoning categories. However, as we are finding, brevity is sometimes problematic because as you abbreviate the total number of districts we had, we used to have three commercial zoning districts, you lump together sometimes uses that create an intensity imbalance. And that is, I think, to what Ms. Lowe was referring to tonight. We may need to go back and we may need to look at our particular uses somewhere in the middle. And is that where a new district may need to be created so we can have more gradation in the zoning spectrum and not create some of the problems? That or, as Mr. Gephardt pointed out, we refine our use-specific standards. And that is something that we can continue to look at as we endeavor to go through the rest of this year with our other zoning changes that we're discussing. With that, that's all I have to offer. We look forward to seeing you on the 20th.
Thank you, Mr. Zinner. Any further commissioner comments for the evening? Commissioner Lowe?
Mr. Zinner, just a follow-up on that. It could be interesting to see if there was any common uses that the PD plans routinely pulled out as part of their SOIs. And are we incorporating that, or is there a zone that, a district that accommodates that?
Actually, one of those, I know one right out there. We used to take farm machinery sales and repair came out of almost every plan zoning district that I have ever come across, and that is now in an industrial zoning district. So yes, we have accomplished that to get it into the highest zoning district possible where you don't see that. But we've got some others. I mean, it's some interesting thing. Bars, nightclubs were another consistent one that came out. So I mean, there are common themes in particular requests, often generally driven by where the request was being proposed. So adjoining neighborhoods, you will see that a commercial development adjoining a neighborhood is going to have a much more narrowly defined list generally of what would have been C1 uses, and then reaching into the C3 category because CP allowed any C1, any C3 use, you'll see some C3 uses were pulled but all others were left out. And that was the car wash, maybe the gas station or something else. And those were the types of uses that sometimes got added back in depending on the location. So over history, that's what we've seen. So if you look at MC today, MC would have included all of those uses. MN, on the other hand, which we would see normally at the edge of a neighborhood, requires the gas station, allows you to do the gas station, but allows you to do that gas station with the conditional use so we have better site plan control in substitute of an actual full-blown PD. And that's part of why where you see the variations now. And CP, or the current code with CUPs, unlike prior to 2017, every CUP went through the Board of Adjustment. Don, in his analysis and his work with us on the code, was able to express to us that when you look at particular land uses that are of a greater intensity, it is truly a land use change and therefore should not go through your Board of Adjustment, a quasi-judicial body, but should come back through the Planning and Zoning Commission for that site plan consideration and that context consideration, and then be approved by City Council. That is why our CUP process exists the way it does now. And it allows for greater checks and balances. But we've got work we can do. We always will, and folks like Mr. Gebhardt and others within our design community can always help to point out where we've got these disconnects and how we can do our job better, and we do welcome that type of comment and constructive criticism.
Thank you.
Any other commissioner comments? Commissioner McMahon.
Farm repair and R1 only, and I move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn made by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Any objection? We are adjourned. Oh, wait.